Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
This is a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Karen Reed back in court again today, and we're going to take you right there for all of the coverage and the follow-ups with Judge Beverly Cannone. Let's go there right now.
Hear ye. All persons have any business before the Honorable Beverly Cannone, Justice of the Norfolk Superior Court, and before the County of Norfolk. Draw near, give your attendance, you shall be heard. God save the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. The court is now open. You may be seated.
Sheriff, I'm sorry. Could you stand and raise your right hand one more time? I need you to stand and raise your right hand, jurors. I'm sorry. My fault. Do you solemnly swear to make true answers to such questions as you put forth to you by the court, so help you God? Thank you. You can have a seat now, I promise. May I call the case, Your Honor?
Please.
Your Honor, this is docket number 2282CR117, the Commonwealth versus Karen Reed. Can I have counsel identify themselves for the record?
May I introduce myself, Your Honor?
Please.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Hank Brennan. I represent the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, along with two of my colleagues.
Good morning. My name is Laura Laughlin. I'm Assistant District Attorney for the Norfolk District Attorney's Office. Representing
the
community within Norfolk County.
Good morning, my name is Adam Adley, Assistant District Attorney with the Norfolk County District Attorney's Office. Thank you very much for your time and attention to being here.
All right, thank you, counsel, and then counsel for the defense, and please introduce your client as well.
Good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Alan Jackson. I have the privilege and honor to represent my client standing to my right, Ms. Karen Reed.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. My name is Elizabeth Little, and I also have the privilege of representing Ms. Reed.
Good morning. My name is Robert Alessi. I likewise have the privilege of representing Ms. Reed, and I thank you for coming today.
Good morning. My name is David Iannetti. I'm an attorney. I have offices in Boston and right here in Dedham, and it is truly my pleasure to represent Karen Reed.
Good morning. My name is Victoria George, and I have the privilege of representing Ms. Reed, and thank you for being here.
Good morning, I'm Karen Reed. Thank you for being here.
Okay, thank you very much.
Ms. Reed, can you please remain standing for just a moment? Karen Reed, you are now set at the bar to be tried, and these good men and women who I shall call to pass between the Commonwealth and you upon your trial. If you'd object to any of them, you must do so before they are sworn. You have a right to challenge any 16 jurors without giving reason. Thank you.
Hi. Good morning, jurors. My name is Beverly Cannone. I'm a judge of this court, and I want to welcome you here today and give you some idea on how we think your day is going to shape up. So I just want to say before we start that jury service is certainly one of the most important civic duties we have, and as a civic duty, it does cause us to be inconvenienced. So we do appreciate that you're here, ready, willing, and able to serve if called upon to do so, and our system of justice simply won't work without you. So we do appreciate you being here, and we appreciate your patience. So today we're selecting a jury in the criminal case of Commonwealth versus Karen Reed. The Commonwealth alleges that at approximately 6 a.m. On the morning of January 29, 2022, the Canton Police Department received a 911 call reporting an unresponsive male party in the snow outside a residence at 34 Fairview Road in that town. Officers responded and discovered the man, later identified as John O'Keefe, off the roadway in the front lawn area. Officers identified three women with Mr. O'Keefe, one of whom was the defendant, Karen Reed, the girlfriend of Mr. O'Keefe. The defendant had been with Mr. O'Keefe the previous evening at two different bars in Canton and had driven with him to this residence in the early morning hours of this date. Mr. O'Keefe was treated by paramedics from the Canton Fire Department and transported to the Good Samaritan Medical Center, where he was later pronounced deceased. The Commonwealth alleges that the defendant struck Mr. O'Keefe with her vehicle earlier that morning and then left the scene while Mr. O'Keefe lay injured in the snow during a blizzard. The defendant denies these allegations. She is presumed to be innocent, and she has pled not guilty to the indictments. So the defendant is charged with second-degree murder. She is also charged with manslaughter while operating a motor vehicle under the influence of alcohol and with leaving the scene after causing personal injury or death. I'll describe these offenses in greater detail at the end of the case when I teach the jury the law. But briefly, murder is the unlawful killing of a human being. There are various ways in which the Commonwealth can prove a murder case, and the Commonwealth is permitted to proceed under all theories it believes it can prove. Here, the Commonwealth alleges that the defendant committed murder and that that murder was murder in the second degree. In order to prove the defendant guilty of second degree murder, the Commonwealth must prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant committed an unlawful killing and that it was done with malice. In comparison, involuntary manslaughter is an unintentional, unlawful killing caused by wanton or reckless conduct. These terms and the elements of the crimes will be explained to you in detail at the end of the case before you begin your deliberations. Now, the issue of public interest in this case and the duty of this court to adhere to the rule of law. John Adams said that we are a government of laws, not of men, and that the law must be deaf to the clamoring of the public. He meant that while public opinion about a given subject may ebb and flow, the law must be steady, reliable, and even-handed. We know that on the subject of this case, there are people advocating for one outcome or another with intensity, but without the benefit of having heard or seen any evidence in the courtroom at all. The law works in a different way, and the difference is crucial to our system of justice. The jurors selected for this trial will hear and judge the evidence. They will decide what the facts are, and where the evidence is contested, they will determine where the truth lies. Ultimately, the jury will decide whether the Commonwealth has carried its burden of proving that the defendant is guilty of any crime beyond a reasonable doubt. People outside of this building have rights, and we know that they have voices, but this criminal trial will be decided by an independent jury, free from outside interference, based only upon the evidence presented in this courtroom and the law. This is the only way to ensure that every person who comes before the court receives a fair trial. It is just that simple and that important. So while public comment will likely continue, the rule of law will be upheld. In order to determine your eligibility to serve on this case, I'm going to ask questions to you all as a group, and then I'm going to ask you to fill out a supplemental questionnaire. We have found that the use of this questionnaire is helpful for several reasons. First, there are some personal questions on it, and we ask that you be candid. In addition, in the process of filling out the questionnaire, you're provided the opportunity to be more reflective as you answer the questions rather than being put on the spot and asked to give immediate answers. After you fill out the questionnaires, we'll have you come up to the sidebar one at a time so that we can follow up on your answers to the questionnaire and to questions I will have of you. I want to thank you in advance for your patience as we go through this process. As you may know, the lawyers for the parties participate in the selection of the jury. Under our law, each of the parties has the right to exercise what we call juror challenges. This means that each party has the right to challenge a certain number of prospective jurors for any reason or for no reason at all. Therefore, some of you may be excused during the impanelment procedure. If you're not selected for jury service on this case, please don't take it personally. Don't think that somehow you're not a fair person. It's not a reflection on you at all. You will be directed back to the jury room and perhaps picked on a case, different case from another court. In a few minutes, I'll pose a number of questions to you as a group, and you've just taken an oath that requires you to truthfully answer these questions and all questions put to you. If your answer is yes to any question, I will ask you to raise your hand and hold up your juror card in the air with the numbers facing out so that the court officer may read the numbers from the card. You don't have to get the numbers out now because it will still be a few minutes and I'll let you know. The fact that you answer yes to one of my questions does not mean that you're automatically disqualified from serving on this jury. We hear ambulances and fire engines going by every day, many times during the day. And if you're selected as a juror in this trial, we'll be seated in the courtroom across the hallway. We will hear it even more. So generally, the lawyers stop and I stop talking when we hear it. So if you find a question that I pose to the group is overly intrusive, you can elect to answer that question at sidebar. And I'll probably have additional questions for you which relate to issues that may be raised in the trial and are designed to give us information regarding your ability to serve as a fair and impartial juror, and the lawyers are permitted to ask you questions for the same reason. This is not a test. There is no right or wrong answer. All we're looking for is your best, honest answer to the questions. Now, I have a witness list that I'm going to read to you, and it is very lengthy. It doesn't mean that all of these witnesses will be called as jurors, but you will likely hear about these witnesses. So I'd ask that you listen carefully, because in a few minutes I'm going to ask you if you know any of these witnesses. It's alphabetical, but it's alphabetical according to first name. So Aidan Kearney from Jefferson, Massachusetts. Dr. Isaac Wolf from South Miami, Florida. Alfred Lopilato from Canton. Allison McCabe from Canton. Andre Porto from the Massachusetts State Police Crime Lab. Andrew Klein from Bridgewater. Andrew Rentschler, PhD from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Excuse me. Angela Malvone from Canton, Mass. Annie Chung from Canton. Anthony Flamati from the Canton Fire Department. Ashley Bell from Canton, Ashley Valier from the Massachusetts State Police Crime Lab, Brian Albert, Norwood, Brian Albert Jr., Boston, Brian Higgins, Sandwich, Brian Loughran, Canton, Brian Wanless, who is retired from the Canton Police Department, Bridget Meehan, who is a keeper of the record for Canton, Caitlin Albert, Easton, Mass., Lieutenant Charles Ray of the Canton Police Department, Police Chief Helena Rafferty of Canton, Chris Van E, who's a PhD from Novi, Michigan, Christina Hanley from Massachusetts State Police, Christopher Albert, Canton, Christopher Curran, Canton, Colleen Crawford from the Norfolk County District Attorney's Office, Colin Albert, Canton, Courtney Proctor, Canton, Kurt Roberts, Canton, Daniel Whitley from the Canton Fire Department, Daniel Wolf, PhD from Penns Park, Pennsylvania, Derek Ellington from Wake Forest, North Carolina, Dr. Marie Russell from Los Angeles, Dr. Elizabeth LaPosada from Providence, Rhode Island, Elizabeth Proctor from Canton, Eric Hanlon from Canton, Aaron Beatty from Canton, Aaron O'Keefe from West Bridgewater, Francis Walsh from the Canton Fire Department, Garrett Wing from Green Cove Springs, Florida, Gary Fowler from Brockton, Gregory Woodbury from the Canton Fire Department, Gretchen Voss from Boston, Hannah Knowles from the State Police Crime Lab, Heather Maxson from Walpole, Erebito Hernandez from the Boston Police Department, Holly Price from Mountain View, California, Ian Whiffen from Vienna, Virginia, Dr. Irene Scortabello, who is with the Office of the Chief Medical Examiner, Massachusetts, James Crosby, who's a PhD from Jacksonville, Florida, Jason Becker from the Canton Fire Department, Jean DeMoulis from Canton, Jennifer McCabe, also Canton, Jessica Hyde from Bridgeport, New York, John O'Keefe Sr. from Braintree, Judson Welcher, who is a PhD from a company called Aperture LLC, Julie Albert from Canton, Julie Nagel, also from Canton, Dr. Justin Rice from South Weymouth. There are two juveniles from Canton, one of whom's initials are KF and the other PF. Caitlin Boudreaux from Raynham, Karina Kolakathis from Canton, Katie Camarano from Canton, Katie McLaughlin from the Canton Fire Department, the keeper of the records for Ring from Hawthorne, California, Kerry Curran from Canton, Kerry Roberts, also Canton, Kevin Albert, also Canton, Kevin O'Hara from the Massachusetts State Police, Lance Mello from the State Police Crime Lab, Laura Sullivan from Pembroke, Laurie Cahill from Worcester, Leslie Pearlstein from Canton, Lieutenant Michael Lank from the Canton Police Department, Louis Jutras from Canton, Lieutenant Brian Tully from the Massachusetts State Police, Lieutenant John Fanning, also State Police, Lieutenant Paul Gallagher from the Canton Police Department, Maggie Gaffney from Bonita Springs, Florida, Mark Lopilato from Canton, Margaret O'Keefe from Canton, Marietta Sullivan from Pembroke, Mary Souza from Dighton, Matthew Amory from Canton, Matthew DeSogra from Charlotte, North Carolina, Matthew Erickson from Grosse Pointe Farms, Michigan, Matthew Kelly from the Canton Fire Department, Matthew Kelsch from the FBI, Matthew McCabe from Canton, Maureen Harnett from the Mass State Police Crime Lab, Megan Mariani from New York, Michael Camarano from Canton, Michael Easter from Los Angeles, Michael Trotter from Canton, Michael Wagner from Foxborough, Mike Maroli from Bridgewater, Mike Rushworth from Thompson Station, Tennessee, Natalie Wewick Burschneider from San Marino, California, Nathan Reed from Raynham, Nicholas Bradford from Lorton, Virginia, Nicholas Curran from West Roxbury, Nicholas Kolakathis from Canton, Nicole Albert from Norwood, Norfolk County District Attorney Michael Morrissey, Officer Kelly Deaver from the Boston Police Department, Officer Nicholas Barros from the Dighton Police Department, Patrick Haggerty from Somerset, Paul Mikowski from Melrose, Paul O'Keefe from Canton, Rebecca Bison from Canton, Rebecca Trayers from Norfolk, Mass., Dr. Renee Stonebridge, also from the Office of the Chief Medical Examiner at Boston, Richard Green from St. Pete Beach, Florida, Richard Donatino from Canton, Robert Gilman from Hull, Ryan Nagel from Canton, Sarah Levinson from Canton, Sergeant Brian Gallerini from the Needham Police Department, Sergeant Sean Good from the Canton Police Department, Sergeant Paul Giampietro, from the Canton Police Department, Sergeant Yuri Buchanek from the Massachusetts State Police, Shannon Burgess from South Lake, Texas, Cheryl Waugh from Canton, Sophie Herzan from the Massachusetts State Police Crime Lab, Stephanie Devlin, also from the Crime Lab, Stephen Mullaney from the Canton Police Department, Steve Nelson from the Norfolk DA's office, Stephen Bernstein, who's a keeper of the records in Stoughton, Stephen Ridge from the Boston Police Department, Stephen Seraph from the Canton Police Department, Stephen Scanlon from West Roxbury, Terry Kuhn from Davis, California, Tess Chart from Lorton, Virginia, Thomas Beatty from Canton, Thomas Kelleher from Canton, Thomas Martin from Weymouth, Timothy Nuttall from the Canton Fire Department, Tristan Morris from Easton. The following are Massachusetts State Troopers. Tristan Morris is from Easton, Mass. Trooper Connor Keefe, Trooper David DeChico, Trooper Evan Brent, Trooper Jeffrey Kostkowski, Trooper Joseph Paul, Trooper Kathleen Prince, Trooper Michael Proctor, Trooper Nicholas Garino, Trooper Zachary Clark. Wendell Robery from Canton, Mass., and William Reed from North Dighton, Massachusetts. I appreciate your patience in listening to that list. There are a lot of people, so obviously this trial is going to take a while. We've already begun our empanelment process. We will continue to empanel. We don't know how long that's going to take. As soon as we start the trials, the lawyers tell me that their best estimate is that the evidence in this case will take 6 to 8 weeks. That's an estimate. It's a good faith estimate. We do the best we can to let you know in advance how long we expect something to take. It may go a little longer. It may go a little shorter. If you're selected as a juror, I will let you know at the end of every day. It's my practice to let jurors know where we stand, if we're on schedule, if we're behind schedule, which I can tell you has not happened, or if we're ahead of schedule. So I let you know every day where we are. That's the best we can do, and it's a good faith estimate. We just want to give you as much information as we can in advance, as much as we can. We expect that the case will go from 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock every day. We'll take a break around 11 o'clock for 15 or 20 minutes or so. Lunch will be provided to you. We're trying to take advantage of your time here with us. So rather than break for an hour to go out for lunch, which usually turns into an hour and 15 minutes or longer by the time we get things set up, we want to keep you here for a lunch break. We'll provide lunch for you, and we'll continue to move the trial forward throughout the day. The afternoon will go from 2 o'clock or so, or right after lunch, maybe 1:30, and you'll go until about 4 in the afternoon. There'll be some days here and there that we won't be in session, and there'll be a few more days that we'll do half days, just morning. So we'll let you know in advance those dates. And again, that's the best we can tell you now. So it might help you if I also give you a preview right now about some basic law that applies to criminal cases like this. As I've said, it's my job to teach the jury the law, and I don't do that completely until the end of the trial. So for now, I'll give you a brief summary of some of the very important legal principles that will govern this trial. First, and most basically, Ms. Reed starts this trial presumed to be innocent. The fact that she was arrested or that she was indicted is not proof of anything. An indictment is just a piece of paper. It just makes an accusation. An indictment is merely a formal manner of accusing a person of a crime in order to bring that person to trial in the Superior Court. But it is only the jury, in other words, you folks, who can decide whether the prosecution has proved its case beyond a reasonable doubt. If the Commonwealth does not do that, then the presumption of innocence requires you to find the defendant not guilty. The law does not require a defendant to prove his or her innocence, or to produce any evidence whatsoever, or to do anything other than attend the trial. This presumption of innocence remains with the defendant until the jury make your determination after you listen and consider all of the evidence. Another important principle of law is that the defendant has an absolute right not to testify, since the entire burden of proof in this case is on the Commonwealth to prove that she is guilty. Under our system of law, a defendant has a perfect right to say to the government, "You accuse me, now you prove it, and prove it beyond a reasonable doubt and to a moral certainty. I do not have to say a word." A defendant's decision whether or not to testify has nothing to do with the question of whether she is guilty or not. The jury must not consider it in any way or even discuss it in their deliberations. Jurors in a criminal case must determine whether the Commonwealth has proved its case against the defendant beyond a reasonable doubt based solely on the testimony of the witnesses and the exhibits. Now that brings me to reasonable doubt. What is proof beyond a reasonable doubt? The term is often used and probably pretty well understood, but it is not easily defined. Proof beyond a reasonable doubt does not mean proof beyond all possible doubt, for everything in the lives of human beings is open to some possible or imaginary doubt. A charge is proved beyond a reasonable doubt if, after you have compared and considered all of the evidence, you have in your minds an abiding conviction to a moral certainty that the charge is true. When we refer to moral certainty, we mean the highest degree of certainty possible in matters relating to human affairs, based solely on the evidence that has been put before you in the case. I have told you that every person is presumed to be innocent unless and until he or she is proved guilty, and that the burden of proof is on the Commonwealth. If you evaluate all the evidence and you still have a reasonable doubt remaining, the defendant is entitled to the benefit of that doubt and must be acquitted. It is not enough for the Commonwealth to establish a probability, even a strong probability, that the defendant is more likely to be guilty than not guilty. That is not enough. Instead, the evidence must convince you of the defendant's guilt to a reasonable and moral certainty, a certainty that convinces your understanding and satisfies your reason and judgment as jurors who are sworn to act conscientiously on the evidence. This is what we mean by proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, our system of justice depends on judges like me and jurors like you being able and willing to make careful and fair decisions. All people deserve fair and equal treatment in our system of justice, regardless of their race, national origin, religion, age, ability, gender, sexual orientation, education, income level, or any other personal characteristic. You have agreed to be fair, and I'm sure that you want to be fair, but that is not always easy. One difficulty comes from our own built-in expectations and assumptions. They exist even if we're not aware of them, and even if we believe we do not have them. Some of you may have heard this called implicit bias, and that's what I'm talking about. Now, of course, we judges have the same problem as everyone else, so let me share a few strategies that we have found useful. First, slow down. Do not rush to a decision. Hasty decisions are more likely to reflect stereotypes or hidden biases. Second, keep an open mind. Avoid drawing conclusions until the end of the case when you and your fellow jurors deliberate. Remember that when you deliberate, you will have all the evidence and all the time you need to make a careful decision. So there truly is no need to start making your mind up before then. Third, you should listen closely to all the witnesses. That is the best way to ensure that you decide this case based on the evidence and the law instead of upon unsupported assumptions. Fourth, as you listen to the testimony about the people involved in the case, consider them as individuals rather than as members of a particular group. And finally, I might ask myself, would I view the evidence differently if the people were from different groups, such as different racial, ethnic, or gender identity groups? At the end of the case, I will remind you of these strategies and ask you to focus on the evidence instead of any unsupported assumptions you may have. All we ask is that you, individually and as a group, do your best to resolve this case based upon the evidence and the law, without sympathy, bias, or prejudice, to the best of your ability as human beings. Now, I know that some of this may be confusing, and perhaps all of it's confusing at this early stage of the case. You'll certainly be in a better position to understand this at the end of the case when you have heard the evidence and I can explain the law in detail. So don't be worried if you didn't catch everything I've said. Why am I telling you these things now? Because we need to know if you are able to follow the law in this case. You don't necessarily have to agree with the law, but all jurors will have to apply the law as I describe it. So, for jury selection, it is important to know if any of you might have some doubts whether you can accept and follow these legal principles. So go ahead and take those cards out because I'm going to start asking you those questions. But Before we begin, I understand that sometimes jurors do not fill out the juror questionnaires completely. Sometimes we're in a rush to get those forms back in, or sometimes we think that maybe our experience doesn't apply to the question that's asked. So when you come up to sidebar, if we see that something's missing, sometimes people forget to put in a work experience. Many times people forget to put in their age, and we do ask about that. We need that for purposes of this impanelment. But sometimes people forget to put in whether they were a witness in a case that was in court, a defendant, another litigant. So if there's anything that's missing, we'll ask you. But if you know that you didn't put something on there, please let us know at sidebar. All right, so if your answer is yes to any question that I ask, please raise your hand until the court officer reads your number. Do any of you folks or a close personal friend or family member know, or have you had any prior dealings with any of the witnesses whose names you heard?
Juror number 343, 360, 347, 339, Mr. Clerk, we can scratch 360.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Do any of you folks or a close personal friend or family member know, or have you had any prior dealings with the lawyers in this case or the Norfolk County DA's office?
Juror number 326, juror number 328.
Thank you. Do any of you folks or a close personal friend or family member have any financial or other personal interest whatsoever in this case or its outcome? I see no affirmative responses. Please raise your hand if you have seen, heard, or talked about this case.
Juror number 319, juror number 317, 352, 353, 311, 343, 360, 347, 354, 324, 328, 322, 326, 339.
Juror number 330, juror number 357, juror number
329. All right. Thank you very much. Could you please raise your hand if you have expressed or formed any opinion with respect to this case?
Juror number 319, 353, 311, 343, 347, 354, 322, 326,
339.
Juror number 350 and juror number 325.
Thank you. Are any of you aware of any bias or prejudice that you may have in regard to this case or in favor of or against either of the parties? Please raise your hand.
Juror number 326, 328, 354. 319.
Thank you. Do any of you folks have any difficulty hearing or any problem with understanding the English language or any physical or mental condition or any religious or philosophical beliefs that would interfere with your ability to hear the evidence in this case, to understand the evidence, to concentrate during the trial, or to deliberate for the purpose of reaching a verdict? Could you please raise your hand if you do?
Juror number 324, juror number 321, juror number 325, and juror number 342.
Thank you.
Juror 360, 324.
Thank you. Please raise your hand if you think you will have any difficulty following the important constitutional concepts that I've described to you. First, that the Commonwealth has the entire burden of proof in this case. Second, that that burden of proof is proof beyond a reasonable doubt and to a moral certainty. And third, that the defendant is presumed innocent and does not have to do a thing other than sit in that chair for the trial. Would anybody have any difficulty applying those very important constitutional principles? If so, please raise your hand. I see no affirmative responses. I can tell you folks that after every jury trial, I talk to jurors. And though they may not have been thrilled about having jury duty, they always tell me that they have found the experience to be a very interesting one, and often jurors tell me that they find it to be a very rewarding one. But I do understand that with this case and the schedule, it may be an undue hardship for some of you. Let me tell you what I mean by undue hardship. When I told you earlier that all civic duties cause us some inconvenience, an undue hardship or a substantial hardship is much more than that. It's something that means that it's personal to you, and the person sitting next to you will then have to step in and give up time from their lives. I generally think of it in terms of either you're a student or you have airline tickets or surgery scheduled for the time that we will be on trial. So with that in mind and that very rough definition, please raise your hand if you think that you have a substantial hardship that will prevent you from being a juror in this case.
Juror number 319, 372, 352, 311, 343, 360, 354, 326.
Juror number 361, juror number 348, juror number 351, juror number 346, juror number 333, juror number 355, juror number 338, juror number 334, juror number 310, juror number 341, juror number 350, juror number 323, and juror number 325.
Okay. So in a minute, I'm going to leave the bench and give you an opportunity to fill out those supplemental questionnaires. I ask that when you do so, that you don't talk to anybody about your answers to the questions or to share any comments with other jurors or concerns that you may have about being a juror in general or a juror in this case. If you have any questions or concerns, you can talk to me when we come back out. So with that, we will be in recess. Jim.
Yes.
Court, all right, please.
Right here, a quick announcement. Turn it off.
Also, if the juror didn't use the bathroom, the bathroom's out back.
Do that, I do.
And that is the latest from the courtroom. Karen Reed today. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our conversations about this case, the hearings, and more. Stay with us.
This has been a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.